1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hello, hello, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is December 27th, 2021, and it is 1900 UTC. I'm still sick, but I'm recovering. This weekend was good. As you can tell, I can breathe, and I'm able to talk a little bit better. So, hooray! The vaccine successfully reduced the duration and significant impact of the disease. Hooray. All right. Well, there's a lot going on, as always, with the show. The year end is coming up, but don't worry. If I look at my calendar, it looks like the 31st is on a Friday, which is great because that means that we start next week. We start at with a fresh start. And we don't have to change anything before the end of the week, because I am too tired for that. I do want to go ahead and mention that if you'd like to hang out and chat during the show, or during any show on and on radio, all you need to do is launch COM, that's C-O-M, and you press G for go to, and then Anon Radio. Just type it to get all together, all one word, all lowercase, and that'll take you to the Anon Radio room, where you get to hang out with Ratsu, and Claudio M, and Leon G. And me, and lots of other people, Hobo, Tobe, Unimagine, lots of folks pop in and out. SMJ is in here a lot, Snowdusk, DJ Snowdusk, just lots of fun folks hang out here, so definitely check it out if you're so inclined. Yeah, and that's all I got to say about that, because we got a lot of news to talk about. So let's go ahead and get started the way we pretty much always start.
World news.
That's right, we're talking world news. So, first up, 28 bodies washed ashore on Libya's coast. The Libyan Red Crescent teams have recovered the corpses of 28 migrants after a shipwreck. On Sunday, December 26th, a security official confirmed three survivors were found on the beaches of Al-Alus, some 90 kilometers from Tripoli. On the sand of the Al-Alus beach on the western coast of Libya, the corpses of 28 migrants have washed up. A security official announced on Sunday the bodies were in an advanced state of decomposition, suggesting the shipwreck happened several days ago. Three survivors were found. The death toll might continue to rise in the coming hours. At the hospital of Qom's, where the bodies were refrigerated, Osama Juma Al-Saket, the general director, regards the situation. The refrigerator of the Qom's hospital can deal with fresh corpses, but decomposing corpses are difficult to store in the refrigerator and difficult to work with. Now the bodies are in the refrigerator, and God willing, they will be shown to the coroner tomorrow. According to the International Organization for Migration, the Central Mediterranean route transiting through Libya has claimed the lives of 1,500 migrants this year. We talked about that not too long ago. It's probably these bodies are one of the wrecks we've talked about. Just washing up on the shore. And it's kind of, I don't know, I'm guessing bodies decompose in the ocean pretty quickly, especially with all the wildlife out there. But, hey, maybe their families will get closure. Hey, Eagold, I'm sorry to hear that you have a runny nose. I hope that it's not, isn't anything any worse. But if you do feel bad, be sure you get a COVID test. All right. Death toll rises. Thousands displaced amid flooding in Brazilian state of Bahia. The death toll from heavy rains have battered the Brazilian state of Bahia since November, rose to 18 on Sunday amid incessant torrents that have displaced 35,000 people. Bahia firefighters confirmed the death of a 60-year-old man who drowned in a river in the south of the state on Sunday. Two people are also missing, while 19,580 have been displaced, and another 16,001 forced to seek shelter, bringing the number of people driven from their homes to 35,000, the Bahia Civil Protection Agency SUDEC said. Another 286 people have been injured since the start of the downpours. According to estimates, more than 430,800 people have been impacted, and the situation has only worsened in recent days. A joint operation of federal and state emergency services has been mobilized since Saturday to rescue thousands of residents trapped in the flooding. And I'm going to post a link to an image in Calm if you want to see that. So the SDF short URL link, if you want to look at this during the archive, is sdf.org/l/fs. That's Lima/Foxtrot Sierra. And and you'll just see the flooding there. There's a lot, the river's just flooded up and it's destroying a lot of places. All right. Sorry, I'm clogging up. Let's keep moving. Archbishop Desmond Tutu died over the weekend. The funeral of the Nobel Peace Prize winning icon, who died on Sunday, has been set on New Year's Day in Cape Town. Thabo Makgoba, the Archbishop of Cape Town, announced on Monday that the funeral of Desmond Tutu, the Nobel Peace Prize winning icon, who died on Sunday, age 90, will be held on Saturday, January 1st. At 10 a.m. on Saturday, New Year's Day, the funeral will take place here, and it is here where his ashes will also be interred, he said. Starting from Friday, Desmond Tutu's body will lie in state at the cathedral, where he officiated during many years. As tributes continue to pour in from across the world, Capetonians and South Africans pay their last respects and prepare to honor the anti-apartheid leader. Following the passing of the clergyman, South Africa's President Cyril Ramaphosa called for a 7-day mourning period. So, I get it now. Running news. You got me. My brain is slow. All right, let's talk about Somalia real quick. Somalia's president has suspended prime minister amid election spat. Uh-oh, what's going on? Somalia's president said on Monday he had suspended the prime minister for suspected corruption, a move the prime minister described as a coup attempt, escalating a power struggle between the two leaders. The raging, months-long dispute has seen both leaders trade allegations over the holding up of parliamentary elections and is widely seen as distracting the government of the Horn of Africa country from fighting an Islamist insurgency. It will also raise concerns about the prospect of renewed clashes between factions and the security forces allied to each side, prompting the United States to call for calm. President Mohamed Abdullahi Mohamed accused Prime Minister Mohamed Hussein Roble of stealing land owned by the Somali National Army, or SNA, and of interfering with Defense Ministry investigation. Hey, X1, welcome. Take it easy, Eagold. The president decided to suspend the prime minister and stop his power since he was linked with corruption, the office of the president said in a statement, accusing Roble of interfering with an investigation into the land-grabbing case. It added that the Marine Forces commander was also under investigation for corruption had been suspended. In response, Roble said the move was unconstitutional and aimed at derailing an ongoing election. He also ordered the security forces to start taking orders from him instead of the president. The steps taken by Mohamed, which isn't really helpful when they're both named Mohamed, were an open coup attempt against the government and the national constitution, Roble said in a statement posted on the Facebook page of Somalia state news agency SANA. Both sides are saying the other is no good. So, I don't know what to make of this. This is going to be another big mess here in Somalia soon. The entire process has come down almost to cherry-picking, where seat by seat we are seeing rigging. We are seeing appointees of the president being given seats, and these are the people who will choose the next president. Somalia, which has only had limited central government since 1991, is trying to reconstruct itself with the help of the United Nations and to fight the Al-Qaeda-linked Al-Shabaab armed group. So, we'll keep our eyes on Somalia, and hopefully... Leon, gee... Come on, since the 90s, they've been rebuilding the government. They've had like a government where they had a president and legislature working and passing laws and stuff like that. But it's only been recently that they've been. Somalia's had a government. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully they can get some stability back. We saw what happened with Sudan when this was going on. There was a little coup. kind of a bloodless coup, but there was a coup, and oh yeah, functioning is totally different. But yeah, most of what we hear about Africa is that it's out of African countries is, oh, those countries are just falling apart and blowing up. And it's mostly just different corruption scandals and UN intervention, US intervention, for good or bad, depending on how it fits. Hey, hobo, welcome. Yeah, I think if we look at Libya, we can kind of see the way that the world treats Africa. It's like, if the country does, through against all odds, find some kind of stability, then the leader of that stable country is no longer a friend of the West, and then they're suddenly deposed. So it benefits the West immensely for Africa to be in this state, which is why it stays that way, I guess. Anyway, that's my opinion. In Afghanistan, we got some stuff going on. Hello, Unimagine. Welcome. Afghanistan's Taliban has banned long-distance road trips for solo women. The Taliban, yeah, this isn't what we expected at all, no. The Taliban have said Afghan women seeking to travel long distance by road should be offered transport only if accompanied by a male relative. The directive issued on Sunday is the latest curb on women's rights since the Islamist group seized power in August. A majority of secondary schools remain shut for girls, while most women have been banned from working. Campaign group Human Rights Watch said the new restriction moved further towards making women prisoners. Heather Barr, the group associate director of women's rights, told AFP News Agency the order shuts off opportunities for women to be able to move about freely or to be able to flee if they are facing violence in the home. The latest directive, issued by the Taliban's Ministry of Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice, if you remember, these guys set up shop in the former Department of Women's Rights or Women's Health or something like that. There was a women's ministry, and this long-winded group came and took over the building, and they said, oh no, don't worry, we're not rolling things backwards, don't worry at all. The document calls on vehicle owners to refuse rides to women not wearing Islamic head or face coverings, although it doesn't say which type of covering to use. Most Afghan women already wear headscarves. It also bans the playing of music in vehicles. I felt really bad, Fatima, a midwife who lives in Kabul, told the BBC, reacting to the directive. I can't go out independently. What should I do if either I or my child is sick and my husband's not available? She added, the Taliban captured our happiness from us. I have lost both my independence and happiness. Another Afghan woman told the BBC that while the measure would help someone feel at ease, a family escort was no guarantee against violence and harassment. She referred to an incident in Pagman in 2015, where four women were kidnapped from their family at gunpoint and later gang raped. So, yeah. It's terrible, but not unexpected. Donor nations have told the Taliban they must respect women's rights before financial aid is restored. The country faces a deep humanitarian and economic crisis made worse by the removal of international support after the group seized power. Yep, X1, you're right. Support good, oppose bad, go back to sleep. But yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what happens. Well, I don't think it'll be interesting. It will be newsworthy when things fall apart there. Belarusian draft constitutional amendments would give Lukashenko immunity. That's right. Belarus's authoritarian leader has proposed long-awaited constitutional amendments that include his immunity from any potential prosecution and a redistribution of power to the National Assembly that some analysts say he eventually plans to head. Alexander Lukashenko, 67 years old, has said the changes outlined for the first time in a report by the state Belta news agency will be voted on in a referendum in February 2022. Lukashenko has proposed the changes amid domestic and international backlash over the violent crackdown on the opposition following the disputed August 2020 presidential election that he claims he won. His political opponents have demanded new presidential elections instead. The amendments prohibit anyone who temporarily left the country in the last 20 years from becoming president, a change that appears to be aimed directly at opposition members, many of whom were forced to flee to avoid political persecution. They also strengthen the role of the All Belarus People's Assembly, a periodic gathering of loyalists that currently has no governing status under the law. The Assembly would approve the country's foreign and economic policy and have the power to impeach the president, who can serve no more than 2 5-year terms. Lukashenko's opponents called the attempt to rewrite the Constitution a sham exercise to help him cling to power, as the West bears down on him with economic sanctions for his sometimes violent crackdown on civil society. So, that's what's going on there. Pretty tough stuff, right?
Get the news over with. I want to hear the
okay,
music.
Okay, yeah, I know. First, let's talk about smashing a Jesus statue, and then we'll play a song, okay? Festive celebrations were disrupted, Jesus statues were smashed, and effigies of Santa Claus were burned in a spate of attacks on India's Christian communities over Christmas. A real war on Christmas, you know what I mean? What is RC3? I don't know what that is. Hey, Rotors at Rotors B, or Rotor SB. Congrats. Amid growing intolerance and violence against India's Christian minority, who make up 2% of India's population, several Christmas events were targeted by Hindu right-wing groups who allege Christians were using festivities to force Hindus to convert. In recent years, Christians have increasingly faced harassment around Christmas, but this year saw a notable surge in attacks. In Agra and Uttar Pradesh, members of right-wing Hindu groups burned effigies of Santa Claus outside missionary-led schools and accused Christian missionaries of using Christmas celebrations to lure people in. As December comes, the Christian missionaries become active in the name of Christmas, Santa Claus, and New Year. They lure children by making Santa Claus distribute gifts to them and attract them towards Christianity, said Aju Chauhan, Regional General Secretary of Bajrang Dal, one of the right-wing Hindu outfits leading the protest. Chaos Communication Congress. Very cool, very cool. Remote Congress now. Let only Christians celebrate Christmas, said one of the men in the video filmed during the disruption. We are against Hindu boys and girls participating in a Christmas function. It hurts our sentiments. They dress up in church and everyone sings Merry Christmas. How will our religion survive? The police have subsequently arrested both men involved. And it goes on to detail other attacks on Christians. But I just thought it was interesting to see them smashing Jesus statues. Because while they're attacking the Muslim community, the West, the United States is going to give up or ignore it. But if they're smashing Jesus statues, by golly, we need to go over there with our bombs and drones and kill everybody. Boom, boom, boom. Ra-da-da-da-da. Anyway, sorry. But that's why I thought it was news to me, because it's good to know that, because, hey, you can hate other people as long as you don't... The United States position is, you can hate anyone you want as long as you don't hate us. Alright, well, I'll go ahead and pull up a song here. Sorry about that.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Alright, so let's pull it together. Alright. You know what? I'm not gonna do that to you. I had a whole bunch of Christmas songs to play, but I think that's gonna be that's not gonna be any fun. Here.
About music, when it hits you, you feel no pain. One good thing about music, when it hits you, you feel no pain. So hit me with music, hit me with music now, yeah. Hit me with music, brutalize me with music. Trench Town Rockets, do watch that. Trench Town Rockets, lift me your jive. Trench Town Rockets, never let your children cry. Cause you got to chill, jive, while you're moving. Kingston Town, moving. Kingston Town. Whoa, and Kingston Town. Kingston Town. One little fare I fall. You can't fool Jive, I know. One little fear I fool, cause you can't fool Jano, cause you're moving, yes I'm moving. said one good thing when it hits you, you feel no pain. One good thing about music, when it hits you, you feel no pain.
Commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh, that's right. You are listening to a non-radio powered by SDF, and SDF's powered by you. So thank you so much for being here and for hanging out. I hope you're having a good time and you're enjoying the show. Please stick around at 1930 UTC, which is in just about 8 minutes. We've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, which is a ton of fun. He is not a Eurorack enthusiast, so don't tell him about this. But there is a cool new GitHub project I wanted you to know about. It's called VCVRack. That's Victor Charlie Victor Rack. It's over there on GitHub. They just had a new release. And here's what it says. Shh, don't tell Tobe. Rack is the host application for the VCV Virtual Eurorack Modular Synthesizer platform. If you want to get into Eurorack, this is a way to do it. Shh, don't tell Tobe. All right. Let's keep on to talking about other news that's totally not Eurorack related. Italian court finds open source software terms are enforceable. In a first-time ruling by Italian courts on open source licensing, a software vendor has lost a civil case for failing to comply with open source license requirements. On December 13th, the Law Court of Venice, Italy, quietly affirmed the legal enforceability of open source software licenses in a case involving the GNU General Public License, perhaps the most well-known open source license, and what was something of a test case within the country. Open source software is important because it offers a way for software to be distributed freely and without cost, while allowing users to modify the software to suit their needs and distribute it to others. It represents an important step in the direction of strengthening the protection of intellectual works distributed through free software licenses in all their forms, a concrete progress for Italian jurisprudence on the subject and more generally for the country. Ovation, an Italy-based limited liability company that wasn't the plaintiff in the case, said in a press release it issued after the court ruling. The case involved Ovation's GPL license Dynamic.oo software, which is a plugin for the open source Elementor platform for building WordPress websites. According to the company, two former employees, evidently Marco Pogli and Francesco Pesci, who were the defendants in the suit, along with Venezia, Italy-based Nerds Farm, which is owned by Pesh, had redistributed the software, which is allowed under the GPL. The issue was that the software was redistributed without including acknowledgement of the original work, including information about changes the defendants had made to the software, and with no mention of the software's copyright holders. They also preceded the unlawful behavior of ignoring the formal termination notice, the company added, which is the first protection tool implemented to safeguard the developers who decide to share their code in free form. So, I thought this was really cool. In addition to ordering the defendants to cease distribution of the software until it's brought into compliance, a fine of 100 euros was levied for each day the defendants delay, bringing the software into compliance for the first 15 days. Then the fine increases to 300 euros a day. The same rules apply to their Facebook page. The court ordered the defendants to pay the litigation cost, which was a little over 5,000. So yeah, I thought this was a great win for open source and for technology, just because GPL doesn't get challenged in court often enough, because usually those the court costs are so high. So anyway, I thought that was a great little bit of news coming to us. We don't have enough time, so I'm just going to run through some headlines with you real quick here. I remember Publius taught me how to say this, but I've lost it since then. Mauritius? Anyway, Mauritius. A court sentenced the captain and first mate of the MW Wakashio, whose grounding in 2020 caused the worst oil spill on the coast, to 20 months in prison. The judge added that both defendants pleaded guilty and apologized. The Japanese bulk carrier ran aground on July 25, 2020, on a coral reef southeast of the country, releasing more than 1,000 tons of fuel oil into its crystal-clear waters. The Panamanian-flagged vessel was on the way to Brazil from Singapore with 3,800 tons of fuel oil and 200 tons of diesel on board, which soon began to leak out, most of which could be pumped out. During the hearing, the Indian captain, Sunil Kumar Nandeshwar, admitted that he had been drinking at a party on board the ship. The oil spill was the worst marine pollution in the history of the country, which depends on its water for food security and ecotourism, an area that has some of the world's most beautiful coral reefs. So very cool. That would be kind of funny if a non-radio was, if the Dubious Goals Committee was like the big secret way that people loved to, that the spy agencies, the three-letter spy agencies, like to share news. They would just talk in Tobe references to get information across. Hey, Bill, I've got some logo-free designs for you. Oh, that's fantastic. I'll go tell Bear Dad. Ghost Bear. Tobe never says anything. DFS at SDF, welcome, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. Sorry, I got sidetracked. Iraq's Supreme Court has ratified the October election results. Iran-backed factions, including powerful armed groups, had alleged irregularities in October's parliamentary vote. Their Supreme Court ratified the election after it rejected earlier appeals against the results. Monday's ratification, following a delay of more than 2 months, clears the way for a new parliament to hold its inaugural session within 2 weeks under Iraq's laws. So that's pretty cool. Good for Iraq. Iran says Vienna nuclear talks to restart around a joint document. Iran says its negotiating team is ready to remain in Vienna until whenever necessary to reach a good deal. So that's good for the world. Hopefully they can come to a new nuclear agreement. Personal details of 80,000 South Australian public servants was stolen in a cyber attack. We've got less than a minute to go. We've got a minute and some seconds. Records include the name, tax file number, and banking details of almost 80,000 South Australian government employees, with workers advised to assume their personal information had been stolen. The South Australian Treasurer, Rob Lucas, first disclosed on Friday the records were stolen. So yeah, pretty rough. Lots of other news out there. That's all we got time for.
That sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe.
7, 6.